Blog Talk Radio.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life, and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sins.
You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died, cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry. On my knees I fall. You paid it all. Oh, oh. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have everlasting life.
Song, you played it all. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what that all is. I think we really and fully, truly don't understand that. I don't think that any of us, no matter what title or position or who you are. I don't think that we really have comprehended what that all means when Jesus went to the cross and he paid it all. And that's every heartbreak, every heartache, every sin, every temptation, every worry, every fret, every up, down, sickness, disease. I mean, all means all. And we have to remember that. So good evening, family. Always a great pleasure to be before you again. I have a very tough assignment on today. So I'm hoping that you love me after it. And if you don't love me after it, I hope that it's a seed that is planted in your spirit and you're able to grow from it. I will be having a special guest join in halfway through this broadcast along with Pastor E. I just want to lay down the foundation of what I want to be talking about on tonight. And then they're going to come in, Prophet Dwayne and Pastor E is both going to come in, and they're going to put their spin on what I'm speaking on. So this subject was that heavy and that hard that I had to call for my backup on this one, because I needed confirmation on this, because I want them not just to confirm my word, because this is God's word, but I want them to confirm it to you in your spirit. So then, therefore, you're able to be able to grow in the knowledge and understanding of God. So before we do anything, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you, and we thank you. We certainly lift you up, and we give you awesome praise on this evening, God. And, Lord, we thank you that you did pay it all, God. You paid everything that we ever been through, everything that we're going to go through. Lord, you paid everything for even at this present time. So for this, we say thank you. So, Father God, I ask, Lord, that you word my mouth, oh God. I ask, Father, that you give me a word for your people on tonight, Lord, that they'll be able to grow. Father God, I ask you to also touch the special guest. Ask you to touch Pastor E and Prophet Dwayne on this evening, be able to start dropping in their spirit, Lord, as I speak as well. A word to give to your people on tonight. So again, we glorify you, magnify you, and praise you in Jesus' name. Today we're going to talk about the spirit of witchcraft. The spirit of witchcraft, breaking the spirit of witchcraft, the character and the characteristics of witchcraft. So again, I hope that y'all are ready for what I just said, breaking the spirit of witchcraft. So I'm going to give you a minute to just kind of let that sink in for you, all right? So I'm going to give you a definition of witchcraft, okay? So give me 1 second. Let me get there. Hold on. Okay. So you ready? So I want you to get a pen and paper, because I'm going to give you the character and the characteristics of witchcraft, because what I'm giving you is the umbrella on which these other characters and characteristics play up under. Okay, so witchcraft, any person that has the skillful ability of influencing the feelings, thoughts, or emotions of others to achieve the outcome they desire. So let me say that again. Any person that has the skillful ability of influence the feelings, thoughts, or emotions of others to achieve the outcome that they desire. So again, what we're talking about is we're talking about the spirit of witchcraft. But I'm giving you the basic definition of what that is, and then I'm going to go on. So one moment, hold on. All right, so what I'm going to be talking about tonight is I'm going to be talking about the witches, warlocks, and Jezebel. Those who operate under witchcraft. So I gave you what witchcraft is, but what I'm also giving you is the operating characters up under that umbrella, witches, warlock, and Jezebel. All right? So I'm going to try to take my time, but I want to lay down this foundation because I want to get them in.
So they all have these seven foundation characteristics. So I gave you the characters. So again, I gave you the definition, witchcraft. Any person that has a skillful ability of influencing the feelings, thoughts, or emotions of others to achieve the outcome they desire. The characters that fall under witchcraft are witches, warlocks, and the Jezebel spirit. Now, here is the characteristics that they all share in. Hear me. They all share in these same seven characteristics. And then I'm going to break out each one. So number one, intimidation. Basically, intimidation is I will scare you into doing what I want you to do. Intimidation is the first characteristic. Number two, manipulation. I will trick you into doing or what I want you to give me and to get my desired result. So I will trick you to do or I will trick you to give me what I need for my desired outcome. Now, one thing that you have to understand about manipulation, and I think most of us know this, is that manipulation comes very subtle. It works itself. One thing about manipulation and that demon, it don't mind taking its time. It is a very slow process. It's not going to come at you right away. It's going to be very slow, very mind, you know, play mind tricks on you. It's going to have crafty and cunning words, and it's going to do all that, but it's going to do it very slow and very subtle that you don't even realize that you've been tricked until you've been tricked. The third one, domination. I will force you to do what I want you to do. Okay? Number four, adoration. I will worship you and idolize you as long as you do what I want. And because they have put you, and you want to keep the favor in their eyes, you will do whatever it takes or what they want you to do to not lose that favor. So hear me again. Adoration is they worship you. They adore you. They idolize you. And because you want to keep that favor in their eyes, you want to keep that worship and that adoration going, then you'll do what it is that they want you to do. Now, that's a little bit different from validation. That's the fifth one. Validation. I will sustain you and be a vocal witness of your worth to get you to do what I want you to do. So here they will give you public praise. They will tell people how wonderful you are and how you come through when they need you. And because you don't want to look bad in the other people's eyes, you will do what they need you to do. So the first one is that personal worship. That's that building, you know, you building your self-esteem and making you feel all that. But that's more of a private thing when it comes to adoration. And because you don't want to lose favor in their eyes, you'll do it. But when it comes to validation, that's a public thing. They'll publicly, and I'm going to go to ministry, so I might as well say, they'll publicly sell over the pulpit. They'll publicly, you know, make you shine. They'll publicly do all these things. And because you don't want to look bad in the eyes of the people, then you'll do what they want you to do. Number six, compensation. I will give you recompense and restitution for doing what I want you to do. It is the use of your talent and the use of your gift for a minimum price, but a whole lot of your time. Hear me. It's the use of your gift and the use of your talent for a very minimum price, but a whole lot of your time. And because, again, not so much that you're getting paid for, but again, they probably use some of those other things like that validation or that adoration and all that other stuff that you're just so tripped up and you're so willing to do it. And then they say, well, I'll pay you for it. But you know they're not paying you what you're worth anyway. But, again, there's other areas that you don't want to look bad in, so you'll go ahead. So, again, so just for instance, let's take musicians. So musicians, you know, not saying that they to be getting paid. I'm just making an example. But a musician, you're getting paid, you're getting compensated, and you're the best in the world and all this other stuff and whatever else, and you probably are. But guess what? You got to be there for Sunday morning service, 8 o'clock service, Sunday 10 o'clock service. Then you got to be there for afternoon service. Then you got to be there for choir rehearsal for 14 hours on Thursday. Then you got to follow the pastor where he got to go. You understand what I'm saying? Gets a whole lot of your time for a little bit smaller compensation. Then next you have sympathy. The last one, number 7, is sympathy. I will be the special person who understands your heart and pain and make you feel that I'm the only person who can relate to you. And because they make you feel as such, and because they know your secrets, you will do what they want you to do. Because, remember, that was a pain probably that you were trying to go through secretly, or that's a pain that you were trying to go through by yourself, but they came along and they, you know, made you feel like it's they understood, or they try to relate to you or whatever case may be. And so therefore you opened up and you poured out your heart. And I don't know, as a woman, sometimes when you pour out one thing, then you start pouring out other things. And now they know all your business. And because they know all your business, therefore when they want you to do something, you're kind of go ahead and do what they want to do because you don't want them to put your business out there. So, again, witches, warlocks, and Jezebel all have these same 7 foundation characteristics and operate in all 7. What makes them different is this, and then we're going to take it a step further. But what I'm going to tell you what the difference is, but what I really want for you to do before I say it is don't think that I'm talking about other people, okay, possibly. But what I want you to do is look at yourself first. Any message, y'all know, Pastor V, any message that I ever bring, I've always said this had to come to me first. So before you look at anybody else, be like, yep, sure is. Yep, that's so-and-so. Yep, that's uh-huh. No, look at yourself first. Are you operating in any of these type of characteristics? Are you a manipulative person? Are you a dominating person? Are you a person that validates, you know how to do those smooth talking words? Are you a person that hold people's stuff against them, you know, to make them do what you want to do? Are you that type of person? So before any of that, I want you to first look at self. So we're not here on this broadcast trying to point fingers at other people. We here first trying to point fingers at ourselves to see, God, are we operating in any of this? Because, again, you are operating in the spirit maybe due to a temporary situation or circumstance. So you might not be controlled by the spirit. But is there a situation or circumstance that may have you operating temporary in that spirit? But you don't want to temporarily be operating that spirit, because then, of course, it can go over to control. Or are you a person that's controlled by that spirit? I had a very dominating spirit, very. Oh, my gosh. And I used to always put it up under the umbrella. See, God, remember, this came to me first. I always said I grew up the only child. Growing up the only child, I was spoiled. Got my way. Got my way with my mama, my daddy, my granddaddy, my grandma, everybody. Everybody had to give the Lord their way. And then I grew up. Still with the same mentality. Everybody had to give me my way. I didn't take no for an answer. I can show you better than I can tell you. Tell me no. Watch me make it happen. I had a very dominating spirit. And when I tried to recognize it, it seemed to not go anywhere. I kind of hid it a little bit and put it up under other things. And I'm going to tell you what I used to put it up under. Excellence. Oh, I'm just operating in excellence. I'm just doing that because I want everything to be excellent. I just want everything to be right. I learned how to mask that controlling spirit and put it under the word excellence. And so God had to show me, look at here, that's you. You have a very, you intimidate people like nobody else's business. I was like, no, I don't, God. I'm very loving. I don't intimidate. He's like, yes, you do. Do you know how many times people have always come up to me and said, when I first met you, I thought you were mean, but you're very sweet and whatever. And I'd be like, well, you just got to get to know me. But my first impression shouldn't be that either. I'm very intimidating. My face, my sister always said, girl, if I could just take a picture of your face just shows everything. I can show you in a minute when I don't want to be bothered. My face will say that in a minute. Very intimidating spirit. So therefore, God had to show me that of myself in order for me to work those things out. Okay, so enough about me. So listen, let me start with what you know first, okay? I want to start with the Jezebel spirit. Okay, then I will go back and give you more about her, but let me give you this one point about her. Jezebel is a married woman. Remember, we read the word for what it is. We do not add or subtract from the word. Jezebel was a married woman. Jezebel cannot be a man. Ooh. That's okay. I might have messed you up, but hold on. I'm going to help you. There has to be a presence of a man who is weak in his leadership or headship in order for Jezebel to operate. Men, remember, because they all have the same seven characteristics, they all have the same foundational purpose, which is witchcraft, but men are called warlocks. And single women are witches. Single women cannot be Jezebel. There is no man present. Yes, you look at a woman and you say she acting like Jezebel because of the character, but she really is a witch. A man will say that the spirit of Jezebel, he acting like the spirit of Jezebel, but he's really a warlock. What is happening in the church is we are not calling these spirits out correctly. So they're not fleeing or being cast out because they don't recognize that you're even talking to them. Are you hearing me? So you go up to a man all you want to and sit up there and be wanting to try to call the Jezebel spirit up out of him, that warlock spirit going to look at you and say, I ain't got to go nowhere because you don't even know me by my rightful characteristic position or name. So it doesn't move. And you wonder why the church is being infected with these type of characteristics because they're able to because you don't know nothing about them. Okay. I'm going to leave that alone for a minute. I'm going to let them take that. So before I go on about Jezebel, we have witchcraft operating in the church, especially from the pulpit. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be liked right now. Especially from the pulpit, intimidating people to give money, enslaving people to serve tirelessly in the ministry, telling people what you did for them and making people feel like they owe you. But I thought that you were called to be a servant and to do those things. Do for people so people now feel obligated to give, or people feel obligated that they have to do this and they have to do that. Now across the pulpit, you're making people feel obligated that they have to. When God said, do nothing grudgingly, don't give your money grudgingly, don't give your time grudgingly, don't give your smile grudgingly, don't give your God bless you grudgingly, don't give your sister I love you grudgingly. We know you're forcing people instead of, remember, we're supposed to prick their hearts. And when we prick their hearts, God does the rest in order to open them up to do what needs to be done. We don't have to force or make anybody do it, okay? So, and let me tell you what the church has done. They have created a new word because remember at the beginning, hold on, let me go back. I said witchcraft is what? Any person that has a skillful ability of influencing the feelings, thoughts or emotions of others to achieve the outcome they desire. So let me tell you what they changed that word desire for. Vision. They try to make their vision come to pass by any means necessary. Okay. Let me tell you a few things before I bring Prophet Dwayne in, okay? All right? Hear me. Now, I'm not saying anything. Only God knows. I'm way over here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in a little two bedroom apartment. I don't know all of what's going on in the world, but I know, as they say, if you see it one or two or three different places, then you know it's over in Texas, it's in Maryland, it's in Hawaii. There's two or three more churches that are doing this. And what's happening is leaders, pastors, bishops, whatever, are saying the word vision. And they have a vision for the church, and we need to do this, or we got a vision to move, or we got a vision to build, or we got a vision for this, and we got a vision for that. And it's really not a vision from God. And how you know that it's not a vision from God is when you have to force people to go along with your vision. When you have to intimidate people. When you have to make people feel obligated, when you have to make people feel shameful, when you have to make people feel enslaved in order to help this thing come to pass, then I beg to differ that that's the vision of God. Because where everybody always preach, well, where there's vision, God will supply what? Provision. You ain't got to beat nobody about it. Okay. Okay. So let me tell you a few things. Jezebel, the difference about her is, when a man takes down, she rises to power. She marks herself as a queen. Then she set up a group of followers to accept and defend her views and position. In a home, now check this out. I don't know why my phone. Okay, so let me tell you this. In her home, she uses her children to go against their father. Ouch. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Okay? I don't know anybody. Remember, I'm way over here in Milwaukee. I don't know what's going on in your home. But what happens is that when Jezebel rises to power, she has to find somebody that's going to be on her side. No matter if she's wrong or she's right, she got to find somebody that's on her side. And if we're going to first look at Jezebel in the home, the first thing she do is get the children on her side. As a first lady, I'm going to the church. As a first lady, she uses her influence over the women, which outnumber the men most of the time in the church. And she uses the outnumber in order to get her way and know how to use her intimidation, bat her eyes, in order for the women to get their way in the ministry. She will continue to suck out the man's headship and leadership until she is totally in charge. Disorder, hear me, disorder is her best function. Disorder is her best function. Okay, let's check self, lady. I'm talking to the ladies now. I'm talking to the married ladies, okay? Even the witches. I'm talking to the Jezebels and the witches. I'm talking to all the ladies, single or married. Disorder is her best function. Disorder in the home, she don't keep a clean house, but she will dress herself to the nines. That's a witch or a Jezebel. Because remember, they all operate on the same characteristics. Witches and warlocks and Jezebels, they love disorder. Being disorder, being out of order, what did he say? Come on now. Come on, back it up with the word. He said disobedience is as the spirit of what? Witchcraft. Disobedience also is a root to disorder. Witchcraft. You got what do we preach? God is a God of order. If God is a God of order, how in the world is your home out of order? How? I beg to differ. I'm sorry. I'm finna say it. I don't care if you was raised in a home and there was no order. But you came on this side and you got saved and you say that you have the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost has not retaught you or retrained you on how to keep a house. That ain't my God. I didn't know how to keep a budget. I didn't know how to do my finances. The Holy Ghost came in and showed me and taught me how to put my finances in order. The Holy Ghost taught me how to keep a clean house. Y'all not hearing me. I'm talking to the ladies. I'm sorry. I'm going to talk to y'all for a minute. Because you think that you're operating under the spirit of God. I'm sorry. You operating as a witch or a Jezebel. Disorder in her kids. But they know how to put on a show for their mother because of the reward she's going to give them when they come to her rescue. They can be, so what I'm trying to say is they can be kids that be cut up, toe up from the flow up. But as soon as their mama need them to be on the side, they know how to get in line and be on mama's side, and mama will reward them. I have yet to understand, I'm sorry, how kids get rewards of good things when they have been hellacious in school and they get to go skating or they get to go to the water park and they get, really? That's a rebellion. That's disorder. Okay, I'm going to leave that one. Okay. Disorder in the church. She has the most incompetent people in position because she knows how to make them feel important to do what she wants them to do, and they accept it. Disorder in her marriage. It's her way or no way. She know how to give her husband just enough to keep him hooked on her and make him scared to regain authority at the same time. What they always say, oh, we know who the real head of the house is. You know, we always make that joke. Oh, we know who the real head of the house is. No, the head of the house should be the man, point blank, period. There ain't no real head of the house. The real head of the house is supposed to be a real man. Yeah, she's a very good helpmeet. We're not taking from her at all. But if you put that disorder in position, she'll take it. All right. So I try to lay a foundation. And when you're talking about witches, you're talking about the same thing. It's a single woman that knows how to use her intimidation. She knows how to use her words. She knows how to use her body. She knows how to get what it is that she wants. She knows one thing about a witch, and let me tell you about this. A witch knows how to go in and out. She knows how to go in and out. She knows how to go in, and if she knows how to be single and date, then she knows how to go in and mess up a marriage too. That's a witch. She knows how to tear down. One thing you have to remember, as they say in the church, they said the ones that should be the keeper of the house or the church should be what? The single women. Because the married women have other things that they need to tend to. So single women have a great responsibility. That's why the devil is against them and attack them the most, especially the women in the church that are single women. The devil don't want you to be right because you are the ones that are to run the church until you become married. Then the next woman is supposed to have order because we're the ones that we know how to go in and out. We know how to go and open up. We know how to do this. We know how to make the errand. We know how to run. We have more freedom to be able to come and go other than a married woman does. That's why a witch, you have to be watchful, because a witch is a single woman who knows how to come and go in and out. Warlock is a man. Same thing, single or married. But if he's married, he's an Ahab. That's a whole other spirit. If he's married, he's an Ahab. But a single man is a warlock. He does the same thing, same characteristics. So I don't have to go back over them. But what I really wanted you to do was one of two things. Number one, I need you to look to see if that spirit is operating in you. Number two, I need you to understand this because it's time to call these things out in the church. Now, it's very interesting because when I taught this class on Saturday was my last class. And Pastor E, if you want to start bringing yourself in, Prophet Dwayne texted me and said, give him a few more minutes. So I'm going to bring you in. So if you want to bring yourself in while I tell this story. But on Saturday, I had a class. And so I was talking about this, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one of the ladies kind of rose up and kind of wanted to express a situation that had happened in the church before, because all of them go to the same church that was in my class. And she was talking about the lady that was in the same class. And, yeah, the old man was about to rise up, and, you know, and I used to be a person, you know, I used to lay hands on people, and, you know, when she did such and such and such, I had to put that old man down. I was like, wait, hold on, wait, hold on, wait. We ain't finna be talking about fighting nobody. in this classroom. And she's like, no, you understand. I had to keep talking, not over her, but I had to keep talking to her in an authoritative manner. And I said, did I not just talk about witches, warlocks, and Jezebel? And right now you're acting like a witch. I ain't no witch. Yes, you are. Because you are acting in that same type of characteristic as a witch. So right now, by the power and authority of God, I call that thing up out of you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I ain't no witch. I said, okay. And then she got up. She packed up. Check what she did. She packed up her stuff and said, well, God bless y'all. I'm finna go. And everybody was like, well, no, we. I said, no. And I made my class be quiet. I said, no. We don't compromise with the enemy. We say what thus saith the Lord, and we leave it. We don't. I can't scold you, or I can't come against you and then turn around and want to hug you and love on you. If I give you what thus saith the Lord, it's what thus saith the Lord. So she walked out, and I told him, I said, then I went on to say something else. I promise y'all, about 3 minutes later, she walked back in the classroom, opened her book, and sat down. And I looked at them and said, when you stand on God, again, when you know how to call that, and I don't know if God did that as a test. I don't know if God did that as a test to test me, because remember, whatever you teach, come test you first. But however, or to show them, listen, this is how it's going to have to happen. Stand on what it is, call it what it is for its deliverance, and I will do the rest. She walked out and she walked back in, sat down and joined the rest of the class. Then after I saw the spirit no longer operating in her, then I was able to show her love. But I'm not going to love on you while you're in the midst of that spirit, too. That's not what we're here to do. All right? So we're going to give them a few more minutes to be able to come in. But I wanted to, again, break this down to you, because I'm seeing so much of this operating in ministries. And, again, hear me when I say this. It's annoying to a lot of people. It's not like they purposely are doing it. They really truly don't know that they're operating in it. They really don't know that the one time that they needed to use some intimidation became a seed planted in them, and from that, that grew, and now all of a sudden when they realized, because, you know, as they say, when I got an arousal out of you, or when I got some type of great reaction out of you and I saw that works, let me use it again. They got high on the reaction. And because it was that seed planted, it began to grow. Now, understand, intimidation can't work without the other characteristics. So even though your dominant one might be intimidation, you still need the other ones to help you operate that thing. So therefore, now you make room for the other ones to come in and be able to show you how to be able to change, maneuver, and go in and out and use domination sometime. Oh, okay, well, you need that sister right there. She needs to be able to do this for you. You need somebody to really kind of sow $1,000 into this ministry. So what I want you to do is I want you to get up before all these people, and I want you to just point her out, or I want you to point him out. Brother Deacon Joe, man, he's been real faithful to church. He's been real faithful to the ministry. He's here on time. He come over, he cut my grass. He does this, he does that, man. He's just really a good and awesome dude. And guess what? He really wants Deacon Joe to stay at that level doing what he want him to do in order to get out of him what he wants to get out of him. And so then, therefore, as soon as he get finished calling Deacon Joe out and giving him praise, he said, okay, so now, you know, we need to get the offer. We need to raise this money for the new building. How many people, everybody, stand up that's going to give $100. You best believe Deacon Joe, who he just gave praise, better be the one standing up giving $100. He might not ain't got it. He probably got to squeeze it out of his eyeball, but Deacon Joe somehow is going to find $100 to be able to stand up and give. Because how is it that the pastor just gave this man praise and this man can't give? Y'all, I hope y'all hear it. Hopefully I'm not wrong, and I don't want to be wrong, and I don't want to be out here trying to just, I'm not throwing salt on people's ministry. What I'm doing is, remember the message that I had on last month, Prodigal Preacher, there is deliverance still in the house. God, there is a healing still in the house. Nobody is a lost cause when it comes to this. All you got to do is just repent. All you have to do is just ask for forgiveness. All you have to do is just ask for God to remove that spirit within you. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care who you pastor or who you are. You still can be saved and you still can be delivered. There's no lost cause. But the thing is that, again, it's going to keep breeding as long as we don't know who or what it is or the characteristics of it. I had this book, so whenever any of them is ready, Pastor E, Pastor Dwayne, I need y'all in here. But I'm going to tell you how all this came about. Two things. Number one, when I was going through something within these last few months, I could not understand for the life of me why I felt so torn, why I felt so hurt, why I felt like I just wanted to crawl up in a ball and just not breathe or whatever the case may be, because I felt like I was obligated. I felt so much obligated. I felt like if I leave or if I go, something is so wrong. And it was like 3 weeks ago now, I think about 3 weeks ago now, God spoke a word. He said, witchcraft. So when God always drop a word in my spirit, I go and I start studying. Don't know the reason why I'm studying, but I start going to study. And so while I'm looking, you know, through my research and, you know, you're reading everybody's definition, there was a video that I came across. And this gentleman broke it all the way down, just like I'm breaking it down to you. And I was like, wow, because the first person I saw was myself. And then I saw others that had been around me once upon a time and how much of a hold and a control that they had over me because of using these same techniques, these same characteristics. And once I was able to recognize me and in any of them, I said, God, deliver me. And as soon as I asked for that, I was delivered, I was set free, and guess what? I didn't have that type of feeling anymore. I didn't have that sad, that sorrowful feeling anymore as far as thinking that I was doing something so wrong, I was doing something so hurtful, or I was hurting somebody's feelings or whatever the case may be. I was delivered from that. And then the other thing was is that there was this title of this book that had came to me, Jezebel Was My Best Friend. And when I had that in my spirit, when I had started writing it, I had to go back and I had to remember the time that she introduced herself to me and said, from there, she has always tried to be in control of my life, especially because at that time I was married. And at that time, when you have, again, anybody that's weak, she wants to rise to power. And from there, getting that type of power, from there, I always try to control men. That's why I'm single now, probably, along with some other things. But I always, because that one gave me the power like that. Therefore, I try to keep it in every relationship situation I ever was in. So that's my foundation. Hopefully, Pastor E, Pastor Dwayne, if they're on the line or if they can come in, let me just check my messages here. Give me 1 second. So it looks as though that both of them are tied up right now. I'm not for sure if he can open up the phone lines. There we go.
Good evening, woman of God. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am excellent. I am excellent. Now, you know what? Now, you remember our conversation? You said, I've invited Prophet Dwayne on here, and I know you'll probably want to get in, but you put me on the program.
I did?
Yeah. He said, I know Pastor Eden. We're going to get Pastor Eden, too.
Oh, because he had texted me and asked me if I could get you in first, because he's checking in.
No, I
he's still checking
that.
In at hotel. Okay.
I understand. No, but anyway, this is a dynamic topic because it's real. And you're about to start something. This isn't a 1 week kind of a one show broadcast, because witchcraft is more prevalent in the church than it is in the world. Woo, did I say that out loud? I went through a season in my life where I had been personally attacked in the sense of witchcraft. And then when I was delivered, I was on a rampage to become the witch hunter. Did you hear what I said? I was late night following, going out, watching churches, videotaping late night seances and early morning voodoo stuff. Oh my God, especially down south, it is rampant. But the one thing that you said, and this was in the beginning about prayer, is that prayer has to be the way we defeat these things, and also get more awareness through prayer that we know how to address and how to handle these situations that come up. You see it all over the place. You see it like, well, he's a manipulator. I was probably number one, so I could really address this topic and know that using your talents and using your methods to get your way is witchcraft. And somebody out there saying, "Wow, that's me. I'm sorry we stepped on your toe," but the truth is the truth, and we have to first of all acknowledge it, and then admit it, and then confess it, and be released in it. People, you don't have to wear a witch's hat or a warlock's drape or cape to be identified as you. If you're operating in those ways, you're doing some things that the enemy is now coming to kill, steal, and destroy you of your purpose in God to be a child of God that is a nourisher, that is a giver, that is a sower, instead of being someone who is trying to. I remember my mentor years ago was sharing with me the principle of people that always suck from others. They always take from. No matter, it sounds like they're helping you, but everything they do is always like you leave there empty, you leave there weak. Like, I thought they were sowing into me, and you feel like you give it too much. Those type of spiritual things are people in their habits. Oh my God, thank you, Holy Spirit, because most people don't even know they're operating in witchcraft because that's how they mama, they daddy, they sister, their families did it. That now they feel like that's the only way to do it. That must be Papa Dwayne.
I just texted him. No, I'm sorry. That was a chaplain call. We got a. I'm called out to. And see, the thing is because I'm called out to homicide scenes, death scenes. So I'm on call. So, but we're good. Because I
you
really
got that
to get
too?
This subject out.
Listen.
Yeah.
I get a call on all of the homicides in Los Angeles. And so I know what the beep is all about. This is good. I'm glad you brought this. I'm glad we came with this because of the simple fact we have to, first of all, talk about it so we can get it out there. And then some people tonight, I believe there's four people on this broadcast that says, "Ooh, that's me." It doesn't mean you're wrong. That doesn't mean you got to be condemned or hung or burnt on the cross. What it means is you have to repent and get your stuff together. Let's see.
He
if Papa
he's
Dwayne
trying to
is,
talk, but nobody here. Yeah, he said he's trying to talk, but nobody can hear.
Well, if his mic was muted, Prophet Dwayne, welcome to Women Speak. Well, no, you know this is the open forum tonight. We going deep tonight. Welcome, man of God.
Amen. God bless you. Hey, God bless you, brother. My brother. My brother. My sister. My fivefold members.
Amen.
This is a good topic. This is a good topic right here. And I was just reading some things, because I was trying to get, while I'm on the road, trying to look over some things about tonight's topic. I pulled up something on the internet, because I do believe in looking at things before I actually indulge into it to get a further understanding of it. We talk about the Jezebel spirit. We talk about witchcrafts, warlocks, and sorcerers, and all of these things, but not really knowing the whole, entity of it or the definition of it. But I pulled up something, and I want y'all to listen to this. It says, many believe that this type of spirit may be Satan's smartest and most cunning an evil spirit he has. And we're talking, that's the Jezebel spirit. This is Satan's most smartest spirit of all the demons. This is the one that really attacks a lot of people. And I just got to put this out here, too. For all of you women who call yourselves divas. Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Can I just go here for
divas,
a second?
Bosses, bottoms, and whatever else. Go ahead.
First of all, there is no Christian diva. I don't care where you, how you fix it up, how you put your style onto it, whatever the case may be, it's of the devil, period. It's of the devil. It's working in the line set of Jezebel, want to be in control, want people to know who you are, want people to see you, self-provoking, all of this stuff, divas. People be calling themselves divas. I told my mama. My mama said, you know, I'm just a 60-something-year-old diva. I said, Mama, you ain't no devil. She said, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're not a devil. She said, what do you mean?
Right.
I said, divas are generated from devils.
Correct.
The devil. I said, so you're not a devil. I said, so please quit using that word because you ain't doing nothing but speaking stuff over yourself.
Right.
Damnation. All of this stuff. But not the Bible, but this reading that I was reading, it says Satan's smartest and most cunning and evil spirit he has, and he thus dispatches this kind of spirit on specific targets so he can get the most bang for his buck.
There you go.
Simply
I call
put,
it a 3-for-1 special.
A Jezebel spirit is one of Satan's higher ranking, most intelligent demons, if not the smartest kind of demon he has in his kingdom. And with it being much more intelligent than many of the other lower ranking demons will be, this makes this type of spirit much more evil, cunning, and harder to deal with once it moves in the and attaches itself to a person.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Jezebel spirit is one of the hardest spirits to for anybody to get away from. She knows what she's doing. Hold on. Let me. Manipulation,
mm-hmm.
intimidation,
mm-hmm.
and domination.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna withhold the cookie tonight. Oh my goodness!
I said she knows how
Come
to give.
Now.
Remember, I said she knows how to give her enough, give her husband just enough to keep his attention. But also make him scared to regain control. She
exactly.
knows what she
controlling spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I could talk about myself. I ain't scared to talk about me. I remember, you know, starting in my marriage. I'm 26 years in this game right now. Starting in my marriage, I used to allow some things to happen, you know, for my wife to gain a little control and use her little 5'2" stature to talk certain ways to me. You know, I would feel
mm-hmm.
like I was walking on eggshells. You know, that's what the
mm-hmm.
and I ain't calling my wife a Jezebel, but the spirit
right.
operates. And especially when it comes to controlling or dominating a situation. So I would sit back and just let things happen. Till one day the Lord had said, when are you going to take your forefront?
Yep.
And I was like, well, God, what do you mean? When are you going to be the man that I called you to be?
Because that's
Not
the only thing that can kill her.
That's
the only thing that can kill her is a real man.
That is a real man. And so it took a long time to gain back the man of the house. Mm-hmm. And what I mean, that was I a wimp? No, I wasn't a wimp. I was one of those men who would allow things to just take place and happen, just like King Ahab did. He allowed things to happen and take place in his house without using his kingship to say, no, we're not doing this.
To keep her what?
We're not
happy.
Doing that.
But and
he
men
was
do
doing
it
things
thinking
to
that
make
was...
and keep her. Exactly. He was keeping her happy, thinking that. But see, the happiness that he was invoking on her was actually giving her control over the kingdom.
Right.
My goodness. Y'all don't start me up in here. I feel this thing. But I was allowing things to happen, things to take place without actually saying anything. But it was frustrating me, but I wasn't saying nothing. Like a lot of men, things frustrate us, but we don't say nothing. You don't have to yell. You don't have to see. A lion knows who he is. When a cub gets out of line, guess what the lion do? He puts that paw on that cub.
Mm-hmm.
His speaking alone or his roar alone lets everyone in the pack know that, hey, I'm here now.
And see, the thing is with that, though, is that let me say this, because coming from, so like you're the man part of it, coming from the female part of it, I think what happens is that women have to, what I learned was this: I had to trust God in order to trust my husband. You understand what I'm saying? Because what happens is that when women start feeling a little insecure, or when they start feeling a little, you know, pushed aside, or when they start feeling these things but not understanding that there is a change of events that's always going to take place. I call it the wheel of importance. And on the wheel of importance is, you know, the husband, the kids, you know, the mother-in-law, the this, the that, and whatever. And because you are all a functioning group, you two become one, then you have to make one wheel, which means that if the wheel gets spun and my husband's mother is ill and he has to tend to his mother, that doesn't make me any less important. But what happens is that the woman will start feeling intimidated by the mother, or feeling less than, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? She'll allow things to creep in, and then therefore that's when that I need to regain control back over the situation and start wanting to assert her authority. So most of the time, as we said, it's not that, again, that you're doing it knowingly. You unknowingly do it because you have allowed a situation to allow just one part of the characteristic to creep in. And when it creeps in, it has to bring its cousin them's with it in order to now help you to gain control over what you think you need to be gaining control over in a situation when that's not even it at all. So that woman needs to be totally filled with the spirit and the power of God, praying for herself and her marriage daily. You're not praying for your marriage daily if you allow that to come in and operate in that situation. Or else recognize it happened, be like, oh, you know what, that's not even us, and bind it. But we're not doing it because guess what? Everybody what? Feeds on power. Oh, I did that, and I got him to do this. Okay, let me see what else I can do. Now we're trying to take it a step further, and we take it a level higher. Until now, like you said, he don't even hardly want to come home. Now he's walking on edge. He don't even want to slide in the bed next to you. Don't let his toe touch you. All of a sudden, you're going to bark at him. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It keeps feeding her and giving her that type of control. And again,
even though
we're talking about the Jezebel spirit, but also, too, witches and warlocks are the same thing. As soon as you realize what your power can do, not your power, excuse me, as soon as you realize what that evil spirit have allowed you to do, it will continue to feed you as long as you keep your mouth open to be fed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the churches have gotten totally out of control. It's because somebody has started to feel themselves on that power and realize what they can do. And now you got a whole church full of witches, warlocks, and Jezebels.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people that are truly saved, that can recognize it, what are you scared for?
Never be scared to call it what it is. Never be scared to stand up. Because of what? What they know about you? You can know whatever you know about me. That's them intimidating you. Now you're in and under their control because you don't want to speak against it. That's what they want
you
to do. Go ahead. Pastor, where you at? But go ahead. I don't want to be too long, but I want y'all to get in on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, but it's real good because it's an eye opener to where we are in the body of Christ. There are a lot of people who are operating with these spirits, you know, like I was telling you the other day when we were talking. I said, you know, one of my friends was just listening to a pastor talk about money. That's all he talks about is money. All he talks about is you giving, you sowing your seed to him. It ain't to the ministry, it's to him. It's to further his things, his belongings. It ain't the church, but he keeps harping. He's telling people, I don't care if you got your last $100 in the bank, I need you to sow that to me. Borrow it. Do whatever you got to do to get me that money, because at the end of the day, you're going to be blessed.
Mm-mm.
Well, it's easy for somebody to tell you you're going to be blessed when they live in 3 or 4 or $5.6 million mansions.
Right. Right.
It's
exactly.
It's easy for somebody to tell you that. Yes, with your money.
Yeah.
And what I tell people, even when I used to give periscopes, I used to tell people, look here, I'm not asking you to sow me anything. I ain't asking you to do that. Look, I work a 9-to-5 and I get paid very well. But if the Lord, now watch this, if the Lord tells you to sow a seed, then you sow a seed.
That's right.
But I ain't gonna be. But I'm not gonna sit up here beg anybody for anything because I believe and trust God.
Yep. Amen.
But you have so many people who are being manipulated by this spirit, who are being intimidated, like you used the reference as far as the guy doing everything for the pastor, and then all of a sudden the pastor is getting ready to tell people to give, and he should be the first one to give because I put him out there on Front Street as what he as a good man. Well, no, you just intimidated me.
That's right.
To give.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. If there's anyone, too, we want to open up the lines. If there's anybody that want to dial 1 and want to get in on this conversation, I truly welcome, you know, everyone to get in. Because, what we're trying to do is we're not trying to expose churches. We're trying to first expose ourselves. We're trying to first expose our situations because, again, sometimes you may have been don't realize that you've been operating it, or you don't realize that you've been controlled by it. And you really need us to pray for you to be delivered from it because God wants us free. But he wants our mind free to be able to see and recognize these things because these people need to be saved. These people, because, again, what's going to happen? What he say? I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, I desire for no one to be lost. And we can't stand by and watch people be lost. You can't stand by in your church and watch people be lost. And then all of a sudden get to heaven and say, well, God, I had a vision. I was trying to say, yeah, you was working your own vision. You was doing that for your own gain. Like you said, we need true deliverance. We need true repentance. We need true deliverance. We need the spirit of God to get back in the church and operate like it needs to be and all this extra. We need to trust God. If God was the one that set you up, then we have to trust God for the provisions of everything. I've never known him to fail yet. I've never known him to fail yet.
Mm-mm.
Yes, you might go through some things. Yes, you're going to go through some ups. You're going to go through some downs. Yes, we are going to do that. And in the downtime is not – and that's sometimes what happens too, is that in the downtime is when people become very manipulated because you feel you're going to lose everything. So what you do, you grab at anything in order to not lose everything, to save face or whatever the case may be. That's when that spirit – because remember, it's situations that presents itself in order for that spirit to present itself to you. So you got to be watchful and mindful.
So dial one if anybody want to get in this conversation. Pastor, you got anybody on the line?
As soon as they dial one, we'll bring them in. Now, you guys are working on the project. Look, the grandkids go back Saturday. I'm all over the place, so I'm listening, definitely. and I'm primed on this because I know it's going to go farther. But the first part of everything is acknowledgement. It's some people that got to go really before the Lord tonight and repent. You just weren't talking to a witch that looks like on a broom or that has a black hair and black lipstick. And no, there's some witches that look just like angels. That are acting like witches, didn't even know it.
That's right.
I love the point that we're getting it out there, and we have a free forum here to do it. And the acknowledgement of it is that the first place and the first point we go is repentance.
Right.
And whatever you've been doing, I say this every time I minister or preach or teach or share, if you're wrong, fix it. That's why Jesus came, that you can fix it now. Don't beat yourself up. Like I said, don't go put yourself on a stake and burn yourself and say God gonna save you because you'll probably burn. Get on your knees and repent and say, Lord, I missed it. I was misinformed. Yep. I didn't get all this information. Now we have a place where all of us in agreement, Prophet Dwayne and Pastor, oh my God, she has launched. She is not just Pastor B, the pastor. She is Pastor. Lord's Brooks, that we are here to be transparent and say, you know, I've operated. I can't speak for them. I've operated on about eight of those things she mentioned when I was in the church.
Okay. That's right. Amen.
And I had to acknowledge it. I had to call myself out and I had to repent. And guess what? Jesus died for my sins. So I've been forgiven, but you must confess your sins and you must repent. That's where we're at. Open the lines. Come on. Don't make me throw you under the bus. I see several of my covenant partners on the line. But anyone else that may want, that is encouraged to get in this forum, dial one and come on in. If not, we're going to keep it short and sweet. Get ready for the next episode because it's not going to end here. We got to talk more about this, and it is a tragedy in the church.
So anything else that you got to add to it, Prophet Dwayne? Because then if nobody dials one, we might have you close us out. But any more points that you learned while you were doing your research?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've also, you know, come to the understanding of is this. Before I got saved, like Pastor E was saying, man, I used to operate in this spirit. I used to operate in this spirit. I was conniving. Amen. I was manipulative. I wanted people to do things my way. I wanted it done my way. I had to have it done my way and would throw a fit if it wasn't done. I even approached relationships like this, dominating. I made a vow that we're grown folks on here, but I used to make a vow that I would never – just come into contact with a woman without sleeping with them. Why? Because of this spirit.
That's right.
And if I couldn't have you, like, you know, then guess what? I would dismiss you because okay, you ain't falling up under the line of what
That's
I want
right.
to do.
You're right.
But it's going to go.
Whoa, Prophet, hold on. Don't be too transparent. They're going to say we do anything on the Now Network.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let me tone it down. That's what I
like.
But,
look, ain't nobody else out there like us, so we ain't got to be transparent.
Yeah. But you're right. Ain't nobody else like us. Nobody ever had these problems like we had.
You see, I was crying because I said, yeah, I forgot to talk about that venom because that's that venom. As they say, betray you with a kiss. Oh, okay, yeah.
Come on now.
They know how to. Listen,
there's folks out there saying right now, that ain't me. That is you.
Listen, they are experts in their craft. When I tell you, witches, warlocks, and Jezebel become experts in that area he was just talking about because that is part of their craft.
intimidation and all that. They cold with it. I promise you, they cold. So I'm gonna leave that right
don't,
there.
Don't know other ways. But see, that's the thing is that some people are so stuck in their ways, they don't know any other way to operate.
Right.
The Bible says in Hosea, it says we perish for a lack of knowledge. People are only doing what they know how to do.
That's it.
That's why I love this type of forum that we can be transparent. Because somebody's saying, wow, I thought I was doing it. You weren't. And you're not.
Mm-mm.
But God came to save your do-nots. Oh, I like that. That was a new one. God came to save your do-nots. My
That's
God.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
All right, so nobody dialed one, so we won't pass it to get back to the grandkids. But as he said, next month I'll do another continuation because I got to take you guys further in that because they just opened up another can that I did not go into, and that is, you know, more of the venom that they really use to keep you locked in to that mindset. So,
I want to put something out there before we close. Because we're just about to, September 1st, about to relaunch Let's Talk Jesus. And God's been, like, really dealing with me on some different topics to come out with, but I just needed more participation for people. Because, believe me, I don't mind preaching. But Let's Talk Jesus really meant that other people came to talk about Jesus, too. But after I get to minister, and it started out that way. We had, like, 9 people on the panel. But I start preaching, and then I get put on there, and then everybody get content because they want to hear me preach. Let's Talk Jesus coming back in September, launching the first week, Monday of September, coming back. But I need people to participate, and I need guests, and I need us to come together, and let's talk about these issues. Mm-hmm. That's what that platform was always meant to be, for topics like that, witchcraft and adultery and fornication and just sin all together. We can use that first month of September. Y'all pray on it because I need a commitment. But we can dedicate, and you don't have to be there every week, but I can do 1 week. You can come for the next week. You can come for the third week. We can come for the fourth week and really do this thing right. But we can launch, and you can be a part of the relaunch of Let's Talk Jesus, and let's talk about witchcraft. What do you know about it?
Amen. Not a problem.
So
right,
let me know if y'all ready. Let me know if y'all ready.
Let them know if y'all ready.
Crank up the network. Y'all want to come back? So let's talk about it. Y'all want some whatever y'all ready to do. I need people that's ready because I'm ready and I'm going forward because I've been getting called out by my covenant partners. Pastor, what happened? Pastor, nothing. I'm waiting on somebody to call me and ask me. Now I'm starting to get those calls, and now I'm starting to say, we miss it. What about Mondays? And what about, we got promise calls, but what about Man Up? Everything is coming back in full fold to the network, but we were waiting to hear at least 10 people call me and say, what happened? And we just surpassed that, so now we're about to relaunch and get things in order. Let's use the witchcraft subject, and let's talk Jesus, and let's really do something with it.
Okay, that's fine by me.
I got one.
So I am, huh?
I say I got one. I still ain't heard Prophet Dwayne say a word.
Amen.
He heard me say I need a commitment. He said, "Well, let me pray."
Throw me under the bus, man. Throw me under the
bus. Yes, sir. Because I can.
I'm willing to go there. Amen.
Yeah.
You got me, man. I'm
September. Just September. And if you want to continue after that, we keep going. But let's really, this is a very vital topic that the church don't talk about. Tell me the last time you heard somebody preach from the pulpit about witchcraft.
Man, ain't nobody preaching about no witchcraft.
And it's right on the front row.
Right. They don't want to preach about witchcraft because they is
look,
one of the
look,
witches
look,
warlocks.
It's right on the front row. I don't care how holy you are. When the man or God start preaching and all of a sudden you flip your leg and cross it and you'll slip and your skirt go up, witchcraft.
Come on, man. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Now you're hitting somebody upside the head.
Let's talk Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm ready to go there.
Okay. I got you. Especially on this one.
Right.
I'm ready to roll with you on this one.
So like you said, nobody is talking about it. Nobody is talking about anything about it. And again, we're not here to church bash. We're trying to here to bring enlightenment to what's going on in the church. How we, because everybody said, oh, we didn't got so far, and what did happen to the church? The church is in crisis. The church is in crisis because you got stuff like this going on. It ain't even the drug addicts and the alcoholics. Listen, it's not the drug addicts or the alcoholics no more. It's the witches, warlocks, and Jezebels.
Oh my God!
Everybody done got delivered from alcohol. Everybody done got delivered from drugs. Jeez. Everybody done got delivered from lying and cussing. Okay, it had to switch off and then go someplace else or do something else to hide that spirit. And what it did is started creating witches, warlocks, and Jezebels. Because
let's say this: those are the only areas that the enemy can operate. He can't move in holiness. He can't move in righteousness. He can't move in love, peace, or joy. He can only move through wickedness of what? Principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, entities that you can't see, but they are evident right now. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual thing. We're going to break this thing. We're going to make something happen.
We're going to break it down.
And we're going to break it down. I love it. I love it. I love it. If you are on this broadcast, you say, he just said relaunch, call me. We got some spots. We got some things. We want to make things happen. We want every day to be filled. Sunday is open, and we're really looking for a dynamic broadcast for Sunday evenings when everybody is resting, that they can just receive a word. Don't you know that we need a word too?
Amen.
We done did all this stuff all week, and then finally Sunday you make it home and you lay down, and then you got nothing to fill you back up.
Oh, that's a whole nother subject. Because I'm wondering who's feeding the preachers? Who are you allowing to feed you? That's another problem. That's why they're able to operate, is because you're not allowing somebody else to turn around and feed you. You're giving, you're always giving the meal, but nobody's feeding you. So you think that you're operating, you know, and you think that you're doing good. No, you're not. If I go days without food, I'm gonna be passed out somewhere. I'm gonna be hurt. So therefore, you think that your study time? Well, I got my own study time. I got my own prayer time. But you still also need somebody to turn around and feed you and prepare something that you're not close to. You understand? Give you a new revelation.
Real talk.
Because
that's
again,
real talk.
When I'm so close to it, because I can open up my Bible right now, and guess what? I go to the same scripture, and I got the same notes next to the same scripture. Where is it in my mind to even change or get new revelation until I call Prophet Dwayne and say, hey, feed me. Tell me what
and then go before the Lord and say, can I get some understanding and some familiarity and some revelation and some application in my life, because I want this word to work for me?
Amen.
There's another show altogether. Y'all, you know what? That's what I like to get on here, because I get two. I am fivefold, and I operate every second in all five.
I'm going to be quiet because I have something else I need to say, but I'm going to be quiet.
No. This is your broadcast, and I'll be honest, you have an hour and 12 minutes left. See, I never, most people is an hour, because I know they done in 45. But when you on here, and you, Prophet Dwayne also, I put 3 hours, the whole 3 hours on y'all, because I don't know when it's going to go left field.
Listen, do you know, okay, I had to kind of bust this myth, because most pastors will stand up and say, because, again, here's that intimidation. Hear me when I say, y'all can't be going to eating from everybody's table. So what they were saying back in the day, that you couldn't go and listen to other preachers, because they said when you eat from other people's table, you get sick, okay? It depends upon who prepared the food is if you get sick. Because I go to KFC, I go to Burger King, I go to McDonald's, I go to Taco Bell. I eat from other people's tables naturally. But you have to be mindful of who you're going to. But again, you get new revelation when you listen to other people that you know are really preaching the word. But what happened is that they put that intimidation on you, for you, that you can only come to this church and you can only listen to me and only listen to me and only listen to me and only listen to me. Don't go out there and listen to other people. You can't be going out there getting from it. Why not? I'm trying to get a new understanding, a newer revelation, because, again, there's only a level of where you have your understanding, because you're not getting fed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be. You understand?
What you say?
So, broadcast like this, because listen, you got three preachers on here. Are we feeding anybody anything for them to get sick off of? No. We're all feeding you the word. And we trust each other in the word it is that we're delivering. That's why on this one I said, listen, I need somebody else to come on so you don't think that it's just me, but I have other preachers that can also speak to the same subject. So then, therefore, maybe where there's two or three gathered, you get the revelation. And what's happening again is you just want these people to come to your house and don't want to go to nobody else's house. When I my first service was on Sunday, and I told him, I said, listen, this is not a church about membership. This is not a church about partnership. This is not a church about anything. You, if there's a season that God wants you to come over here, if your season is one Sunday, God bless you. If your season is for a time, God bless you. I'm not enslaving nobody over here in this ministry. These are not my people. These are God's people. See, we got away from this is supposed to be God's people. We got away from that we're supposed to be what? Making disciples to what? Go. How do we get away from all that?
Oh, wait. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. The biggest problem of witchcraft is that nobody wants anybody to go because they think they ain't going to make it. They can't make it on their own because they didn't build it off people, not off God. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Right.
Because, again, because you think that your gift can't operate without them. Hello? That's like you said.
All right, now, come on.
You
talking now.
You understand what I'm saying? There's so many people out here with a gift. And the person that gave you the gift is who you need to go for in order to release your gift. Man don't have a release for you. God has a release for you.
Exactly.
And we're not doing that. And so then, therefore, that's how the witches, warlocks, and Jezebels is able to make their rule is because they have you locked and got your mouth locked, got your whole gift locked. We need y'all to start speaking up. We need y'all to start standing up. We need y'all to become bold in this thing. But guess what? Like Pastor E said, what? Go on your knees first. Repent to God first. Ask God if it's you to deliver you, or ask God if you've been under that control to release you and deliver you. And I promise you, once he do that, you'll see things in a whole different light. Your whole entire operation.
The light will come on. Because if you're operating, you are not with the light. But see, when the light shines, the light changes things. And everything I see in the Bible is Jesus. And so if you haven't turned Jesus on, you're still in darkness. The darkness does not comprehend light. If you're trying to bring one into the other, they don't even get along.
They don't. And what I learned the other day about darkness is just the absence of something.
Woo, Jesus.
Darkness is not. What do you say? Darkness is not a thing of itself.
You've been listening to my stuff up. You've been listening to my stuff up.
Thing that can operate on its own. Darkness is just an absence of something. So whether it's an absence of love, you're in a darkness. Whether it's an absence of peace, you're in darkness. Whether it's an absence of, you understand what I'm saying? Whatever you have absence of, that's what puts you in darkness. But once you feel that darkness with something light, what do you say? Think on these things. Think on whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever. Come on now. You got to replace what you have absence of with that of God in order to bring the light into your life. But see, the problem is that nobody here, we finna make another turn real quick. Nobody wants to recognize the truth in themselves.
Well,
everybody wants to live this fake life of themselves and not the true life of yourself. Because the true life of yourself will tell you, listen, I'm broken. I've been faking this whole time, acting like I got it all together. But for real, my heart is really hurt. I'm really damaged. I'm really this, or I'm this, or whatever. Nobody wants to live the truth, because the truth is what's going to show you that you've been in darkness this whole entire time. But once you recognize the truth and you acknowledge the truth, guess who's going to come in? The light.
Because it will set you free.
Every time.
Yes, it will.
Every time. There's nothing wrong. Listen, I'm talking to a woman right now. I'm sorry, she on this broadcast. There is nothing wrong, sister, with saying I'm broken. Don't let nobody make you feel any different that those words have to come out your mouth. But stop telling it to them and tell it to God. Because he is the only one that can replace that brokenness for wholeness. Telling your sister or your friend, they can't do nothing about that, baby. But when you tell God, he knows how to replace. He has the whole replacement system for you. But you got to go on your knees and tell God the truth. God, I'm broke. God, I'm hurt. God, I'm confused. God, I'm disappointed. God, I'm frustrated. And you think that he's just going to say, oh, okay, well, thank you for telling me. What you want me to do about it? No, you go to him, he's going to do something about it. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. We keep making turns here.
Look, this is your broadcast, and we have relinquished anything we got going. We have shared. I'm waiting on the next one.
Listen, I am so passive. Coming now over into this, and again, as long as God has me here, I have a heart right now, so for preachers. I don't know how God gave me a heart for preachers and pastors. I guess because, I've been there. I understand. I understand that, again, you're a leader, but then still you got a home and your kids are acting up, or your marriage or your finances or your this or your health. I understand those natural things will get the best of you. And when you allow them to get the best of you, then you'll start operating in a spirit that you don't need to operate. So I understand the process. Been there, y'all. Been there. 3 years was there. And even more than, even longer than that. So I understand. But one thing that God said, there is no secret what God can do. What I've done for others, I'll do for, with my arms wide open, I'll pardon you. There is no secret what God can do. So guess what, brother, sister, bishop, apostle, archbishop, whatever you is, baby, just get on your knees. God has not disqualified you from your position, but he can't keep having you operating your position, and that gift is soon going to run out, just like the prodigal son. It ran out on him. God said, just get on your knees, and I'll restore you. But as long as you keep doing that, and you don't want to do that, and you keep thinking that it ain't you, it's going to run out. And when it's run out, when it run out, it's going to get revealed. And when it get revealed, you gonna what Prophet Dwayne said, the enemy wants a 3-for-1 special. All he gotta do is get you, and he got your thousands. Or he got your hundreds, or your 20, or however many's in the congregation. But you can come back to God right now.
This is where we go. It's repentance time. It's altar time. Can we have a little altar moment here on the network and really just set ourselves aside and really, really just repent? I'll be the first one to jump on the altar and say, Lord, forgive me. Anything not pleasing, known, unknown, forgotten, something I didn't even realize. Lord, forgive me of my imperfection. Forgive me of my unconsciousness. Oh my God, forgive me of my disobedience. I repent before you today, Lord. I don't want to be found unrighteous. I don't want to be found unwilling. I don't want to not be prepared for you, Lord.
Yes, God.
I dedicate my life to you, Lord, by bowing down.
Yes, God.
I don't ask for anything, Lord. I don't petition anything, Lord. I just bow down and I worship you. In all of that, Lord, I release myself. I die of my own agendas and my own self-want righteousness and my own needs, wants, and desires. And I say, Lord, enter in. No, not the room, not the church. Enter in this vessel right now.
Yes, God.
I want you to be glorified. I want you to be magnified. I want you to be lifted up through me, Jesus. Because as you change, rearrange, and transform me, I'm here to serve your glory. Oh, Jesus.
God. Yes, God. Thank you.
Somebody ought to bow down right now. Just bow down, bow down,
yes,
bow down.
Yes.
Takes a place of solitude. Takes a place of release. Takes a place of worship. They say those that worship him will worship in spirit and in truth. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in.
Come on.
It's awesome. It fills this room. This is holy ground. Consuming fire. Come on, enter in. I'm opening the lines whether you ask me to or not. And just pray in the spirit. Come on, let's move. I know you're okay. I know you're everything all right. But pray for somebody else that's in lack. Hey, kota no mu shanda da da ba. This is holy ground. Jesus. Hey, kota no mu shanda da da ba ba. This is holy ground.
Oh God, turn our hearts back to you, oh God. Turn our focus back to you, oh God. Humble our spirits before you, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, we're not great without you, God. You're the greatest. You're the greatest.
Bow
you're
down.
The greatest.
Bow
you're
down.
The greatest, God.
Bow
you're
down.
Greatest, oh God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Put us back in the place of service.
We
put
worship you,
in the
Jesus.
Serving God, in the name of Jesus. Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, Lord, we serve you, oh God. We serve
you alone
God.
Are worthy.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God, in the mighty name of Jesus.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We worship you.
We worship you, oh God. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, pray us out of here, Pastor Billy.
Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we humbly bow before you, oh God. You are the greatest, oh God. We are not great, Lord. Put us back in the mind of servants, God. Turn our hearts back to our first love of when you first called
right now,
us,
right
God,
now.
And how we were eager to serve you, oh God. How we were eager to go, how we were eager to do, and it was for you, oh God.
You,
Lord,
Jesus.
Turn our hearts back to you to acknowledge you in all of our ways, oh God. Anything that we do, whether we teach, whether we preach, whether we give, God, whatever we do, help us to acknowledge you, oh God. To not operate in the flesh, but always operate under your anointing and your spirit, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, we confess our faults to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Right now,
Lord, and those
right
things
now.
That we do not know of, God, please reveal it to us, oh Lord, in the mighty name
Ooh,
of Jesus.
In the name of
For
Jesus.
Lord, we want to walk in your will. We want to walk in your
will,
oh God.
Your
in
will.
The name of Jesus. God, I'm calling out, Lord, for all the preachers, Lord, all the pastors, oh God, that are preaching and operating your name, God. I'm calling them back, Lord, to your anointing. I'm calling them back, God, up under your wing, up under your covering,
hey,
God, up under your shelter,
Jesus.
Oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking, God, that you have mercy upon them, oh God. I'm asking, God, that you open up their heavens, oh God, and pour back out your blessing upon them, oh God. Let them know that you still love them, Lord. Let them know that you care. Let them know that they're still called, and God, you have still qualified them, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. But God, you just want us to get it right, God. You want us to get in order, God. Your word is your word, Lord. We're not to add to it, we're not to subtract from it, oh God. Let our nay be nay, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh Lord. I just ask, Father, that we just find you, God. Don't leave us like you
Come
found
on
us, God.
And enter in.
Don't leave the church like it is right
hey,
now, God, in the mighty name
Jesus.
Of Jesus. They need us, Father, and they first need us to get back in order, God,
this
in the name
holy
of Jesus.
Ground.
God, for we're calling out
this
every
is
witch,
holy
we're
ground.
Calling out every warlock, we're calling out every Jezebel spirit right now in the name of Jesus that is trying to operate, that is trying to take control, that is trying to change the minds, to turn the minds of your people. We call them out right now in the name of Jesus. You must die in the name of Jesus.
Right now, right now.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
right now.
So, God, we thank you and we praise you, God. We magnify you and we glorify you, God. We thank you for this understanding. We thank you for this wisdom. We thank you for this knowledge. We thank you, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, continue to bless this broadcast. Bless Prophet Dwayne, Father, as he shared. And bless Pastor E as he shared, oh, God. And then I ask that you restore them, oh, God. For you know that the enemy is not happy right now. You know the enemy is not happy that we put this out there. So, God, I'm asking you for a covering over their life right now, God,
cover
in the mighty
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus.
Cover
God, we
Jesus.
Thank you, we praise you, we magnify
oh,
you,
we
glorify you.
You
in Jesus' name.
And we glorify
Amen.
You. God bless you,
thank
family.
God.
We love you.
Amen. We love you.